If you have your Bible, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Would you stand with me this morning as we read from God's Word? Take a moment for prayer. I think I'll begin my reading this morning at verse number 12. John chapter 1, verse 12, beginning. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Father, we need your help this morning. We ask for your divine touch, your divine anointing. We ask for that anointing both for the speaker as well as for the hearer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A simple title for this morning would be just Grace and Truth. To add a little bit of a touch to the simplicity of the title could be The Full Balance. Grace and Truth, The Full Balance. This passage tells us in verse 14 that the Word was made flesh, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Word, by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. It's not a paradox, not a contradiction. They are not contraries, one or the other. They are not contrasts, one of the other. But they complement each other. They go hand in hand. Cohabitation. Together, full of grace and truth. We could explain it perhaps this way. Instead of saying grace and truth, we could say love and revelation. Love and revelation. But the scripture here does say grace and truth. What is grace? Somebody said that grace is giving kindness to someone without considering whether he or she deserves it or not. Grace is unconditional love. God gives gifts because he wants to, not because you've done something to deserve it. Grace. Somebody else said that grace is the free and royal communication of unlooked for and undeserved love. What a definition of grace. In theology books, you would probably find the definition of grace being unmerited favor. What is truth? Boy, that question kind of stands out in the mind this morning. If you're familiar with New Testament scripture at all, what is truth? Where do we find truth? How do we grasp truth? It's an age-old question that's been asked for years upon years, and people are still asking it today. As a matter of fact, people are asking it perhaps more now in subtle ways than what they've ever asked. Because truth is almost obscure in the mind of society today. What is truth? One writer again said that truth, very broadly speaking, is any statement that corresponds to the ways things actually are. Well, we could stand for some truth today along that line. Just truth as any statement that corresponds with the way things actually are. True statements agree with God's thoughts, God's words, God's acts. Truth or true statements agree with God's thoughts, words, and acts. Somebody else said that truth is the expression of the thought of God. I'm not smart enough this morning to be able to explain that to you today. But something rings true in that statement, that truth is the expression of the very thought of God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't even begin to reach the heights nor plumb the depths to understand the thoughts of God. But when it comes to truth, truth and its foundation, truth and its beginning comes from the thought of God. In this New Testament age that we live, we believe the New Testament is teaching us that we are to be Christ-like. That is the passion of the Christian life, the passion of the Christ follower, to be Christ-like. What we read here in John's Gospel is that Jesus, the Word, was made flesh, God's Word, God's truth, God's thoughts embodied in human flesh, became human flesh, became man, and that human embodiment of God was full of grace and truth, love and revelation. Grace and truth. And so if we are to be Christ-like this morning, then we should have within our heart a desire to be full, a balance of grace and truth. Not a contradiction of each other, not a comparison of each other, not something that is going against each other, but a complementing of each other, full of grace and truth. Sometimes we can get sidetracked on one or the other. Sidetracked on truth would be that a person who is sidetracked with that is a person who loves to study Scripture and loves to study theology and loves that all of that aspect of going through and then really getting down with a fine-tooth comb in God's law and God's commands and God's truth to come up with all that there is to know and understand and learn about God, all that a mind can possibly learn. That's a wonderful thing, to learn as much as a person can learn about God or God's Word. It's a wonderful thing to know and to understand truth. But a person quite often that is sidetracked to the point that that is their main focus and main goal, they may be quick to judge and slow to forgive. Because their focus is on truth. Their focus is on that aspect of who God is and what He is in the element or the standard of truth. And being so focused, it would be easy then to judge and slow to forgive. Being strong on truth would mean that they are weak on grace. Jesus was full of grace and truth. It's in times like these that I wish that I perhaps would not have burnt myself out on the Greek language when I was such a young person and waited a few more years till my mind was a little more mature in handling the Greek language, because I would like to know if there's any significance between grace and truth in the way that they are presented, or the order in which they are presented. I couldn't find anything in the midst of what I was studying and where I was looking to answer those questions or that particular question. But a person who is strong on truth but weak on grace is missing at least half of the element. And in the King James, it tells us that grace is presented first. Does that mean that grace should come in our heart before we express truth? I'm not saying minimizing truth, because when we reach the point where we are focused only on grace, or we are strong on grace, then we are weak on truth. Then we are tipping the balance in the other direction. We are probably in the area of easy to give forgiveness, and the focal point would be that of freedom. And sometimes the neglect of biblical study and the understanding of truth would lead us to a person to believe that moral standards are nothing more than legalism. That's not good. Oh, I know there's a lot of people that are so focused on freedom that everything becomes legalism, until it's something that they want as a rule. You know, the people that preach legalism still have rules in their lives. Hate to see a person without any rules. I think there may be some around. Just by watching a person's life, they don't seem to have any rules, but they must have something, because they will rise up in arms when you touch something close to them. There's rules. But a grace-oriented Christian, a grace-oriented person, may love forgiveness and love freedom, but everything becomes legalistic when they are strong on grace and weak on truth. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Somebody said that that is the most recorded, most often recorded song of musicians. It's recorded by gospel singers as well as secular singers. I suppose that it would be true, a true statement, that if it were to be made even here this morning, that if and when grace, amazing grace, is sung in any kind of a concert, in any kind of a secular event, there are some people who will tear up even in the midst of that secular event. Surely it's something that people are longing for in our world today, grace. They're longing for grace. Especially those that do not know Jesus, that do not understand the gospel, have never heard that Jesus came to bring peace and grace. They long for grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I believe the world is desperately hungry for grace. And I believe that we're realizing more and more that we're hungry for truth. We're hungering for truth. What happens when we have grace and no truth? When we have truth without grace. What happens when we have all truth without grace? I said that it brings us to a point of legalism. Legalism is a self-righteous state.
We can be within ourselves, or we can reach the point within ourselves. We do not need grace. We can become what we ought to be just simply through knowing the truth. And yet when we have long lists and long faces, somebody said, it turns people from Christ. Long lists and long faces turn people from Christ. There are people, children who have grown up in a home or in a family where there was graceless truth, and it has repelled them from the self-righteousness of that home or of that group or of that people. And the full grace substitutes is what attracts them. Full grace substitutes would be that of tolerance and moral relativism. And you say, well, those two words are common in our society today. Those two words we hear often today. We do, don't we? Tolerance and moral relativism. You know, tolerance, again, you've heard it said, but let me say it again. Tolerance only means that I am subjected to accepting their way or their thoughts without any contradiction, without any consequence, but they don't have to give that same consideration to what I believe. That's what happens to graceless truth. Tolerance and moral relativism. I don't know if we need to this morning attempt to an explanation of grace without truth. Surely we see what truth without grace can do. Do we need to really stop and look at grace without truth? We've looked at that briefly. But really all we have to do is look around us at society, at the religious society, the church world today. There is a low standard in truth. And grace overwhelms when there's a low standard, when there is a low understanding of truth. Truth-oriented Christians love studying, love theology, love scripture, and they base everything in their life upon the truth, the reality, and forget forgiveness. Quick to judge. Grace-oriented Christians love forgiveness and freedom, but forget truth. John tells us here that the Word of God was made flesh, and the flesh was full of grace and truth, and it came by Jesus Christ. The law was given. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's difficult to be on the side of truth, because truth can put us in an awkward situation. Truth can put us in an awkward situation. We may be faced with a lot of contempt. We may be faced with a lot of hatred. We may be faced with persecution because of truth. When we realize that truth can put us in an awkward position, it would tend to, for most of us, make us be more silent about truth. I believe that that's why America is where America is today, because people have been afraid to express truth, because it puts us in awkward positions, in places where we may be persecuted, we may be held in contempt, we may be disliked. As long as we live our life in our own shadow and we live in our own little bubble, in our own little world, truth doesn't really hurt. But when we allow that truth to be expressed, when we allow that truth to be talked about and to be lived out into a world that would convict their lives, then it becomes a problem. On the other hand, grace may put us in an awkward position if we live by fullness of grace and truth. Because as a person lives by truth and it confronts and convicts a world of sin around us, but then grace comes in, grace may require you and me to put our arm around somebody who is an enemy of our truth. How would that look? What would somebody say about that? I surely can't be involved with that, can I? I'm opposed to these kinds of things. How can I put my arm around an enemy of truth? It's probably considered a tightrope walk between truth and grace. Because when a person tries to balance grace and truth, you will be held in contempt by some non-Christians, but also you'll be held in contempt by some Christians. When it's all truth, you're being thrown, you're having stones thrown at you from both sides. When it's all grace, you'll be held in contempt by some Christians and even some non-Christians. When you try to live by truth and grace, in some people's eyes you will be considered too radical, but in other people's eyes you will be considered not radical enough. Full of grace and truth. A full balance. Let me give you a story in closing this morning that really paints the picture of what it means, both on the side of a balance of truth and grace, as well as the contempt that both would give. The story comes from a man that many of you have heard of. You've probably read after. Some of you may even have read the story. Randy Alcorn says that a church that I used to pastor and still attend was picketed by 30 pro-abortion protesters. Why? Some of our people go to abortion clinics and offer alternatives, passing out pro-life literature and sharing the gospel when they can. So one rainy Sunday morning, our church parking lot was invaded by Radical Women for Choice, Rock for Choice, and the Lesbian Avengers. Hearing they were coming, we set out donuts and coffee. Randy Alcorn said that I spent an hour and a half with a protester named Charles who held a sign saying, "Keep abortion legal." We talked a little bit about abortion and a lot about Christ. I explained the gospel. He said, "I like Charles, but when you believe as I do that abortion is killing children, it's a bit awkward serving coffee and holding an umbrella for someone waving a pro-abortion sign. Yet because of the opportunity to share Christ's grace, it seemed the right thing to do." On that morning we were picketed, some street preachers showed up to take on the abortion activists with signs shouting hell and damnation. Their message contained truth, but their approach lacked grace. One of the street preachers barged between my daughter and me and a few of the lesbian Avengers just as we finally had an opportunity to talk with them. The door of witnessing was slammed in our faces by Christian brothers. He said we tried to reason with the street preachers. In quotation marks, he said, "By the way, I believe there's definitely a place for street preaching. After all, this was our church, and we didn't want them screaming at our guests, even if they were screaming truth. Most cooperated, but a few decided we were waffling on truth, and it was an abomination for us to offer donuts to people who needed rebuke. The following Sunday, two street preachers picketed our church, scolding us for our pathetic attempts at donut and coffee evangelism. He said, 25 years our church has only been picketed twice, 2 weeks in a row. First, by radically liberal non-believers because they spoke, the church spoke truth. The second, by radically conservative believers because the church showed grace. Grace-only people can't understand why Jesus would say in John's Gospel or Luke's Gospel chapter 12 that we should be afraid or fear him who has the power to throw us into hell. Grace-only people don't understand why Jesus would say that. Truth-only people. Truth-only people don't understand why Jesus hung out with sinners. Why Jesus would go to Zacchaeus' house. Why Jesus would allow that one wicked woman who was a known sinner to do what she was doing. Truth-only folk don't understand why Jesus hung on the cross for sinners. When we come back to the text this morning and realize that Jesus embodied God, this life, this world, this flesh that he lived in, lived among, lived and walked and breathed like you and I, he embodied, he was God, he was the fullness of God, he was grace and truth. Truth hates sin. Grace loves the sinner. And as we attempt to be Christ-like in our lives, in our living, the balance of grace and truth must be felt and realized not only by us, but by those that we come in contact with. Grace and truth, not competing against each other, but complementing each other, hand in hand, glove in hand, or hand in glove, realizing that we cannot have one without the other. We cannot have grace without truth. We cannot have truth without grace. Grace and truth. And Jesus was full of both. Grace loves the sinner. Truth hates sin. Let's stand together this morning. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Let's endeavor to let that fullness of grace and truth be realized in our lives as well. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. The Lord bless you. Brother Green, would you dismiss us in prayer?